Good morning, everybody. Wish everybody a good Chodesh. Wish a Nichas Ador, Marbim Simcha. It should be a month of Mazel and Bracha and Simcha. So this morning we start on the topic of games, toys and games. Toys and games, by definition, let's call it that, are for children. Shabbos is a time that we're supposed to have a spiritual upliftment, a time that we're supposed to spend with Ruchnias. And therefore, from the essence of the day of Shabbos, toys and games are more childlike than for adults. And therefore, Rav Novitz writes at the beginning of the chapter, he says, the points of the chapter are basically... Excuse me a second. Okay, so we were saying that toys and games are essentially for children. It's not a thing that a parent should do, a adult should do. Obviously, from the point of view of a parent, sometimes it's important to sit with a child and play with them because that is how you're going to make their Shabbos special for them. It's a way of bonding with the children. We know Shabbos is a great time for family time. So, as an introduction, we want to say that toys and games, we're going to discuss the various toys that are mutter and games that are asur, but essentially we're going to deal with it as this is something for children. And a person takes into account their own way that they're going to consider it. Obviously, according to the need at the time. So we'll start with noisemakers. We're not referring to the children, we're referring to the toys that they use that make the noise. The halacha is that making a sound on Shabbos, there's a discussion in the Poskim as to whether it's a question of making a sound or whether it's making actually music. And we Poskim that even making a sound, when you make a non-rhythmic sound, like knocking on a door, so that's a discussion of whether that's mutter or asur. So, there actually is an opinion that knocking on a door is forbidden. We do not paskin that opinion. We only paskin that if you are using a utensil that's specifically made for creating a sound, so that is a problem of hashmoas kol, and that one cannot use on Shabbos. So, obviously, anything which is rhythmic, a musical instrument and all that, we may not use. But even something which is not rhythmic, it's just for making a sound, but it's made for making a sound. The example would be a door knocker. You can knock on the door, but if you have a door knocker, then you shouldn't use the door knocker on Shabbos. An example when it comes to toys would be if you have a rattle that you give to a kid is also considered a kli that is made to make a noise, and therefore one may not shake a rattle on Shabbos. You may not ring a bell. You may not even take the manual bell that you shake, or a whistle, or something like that. All those kelim are not to be used in Shabbos, and therefore they fall into the category of kli shemelachter isur. Their use is for something which is forbidden on Shabbos, and therefore they are considered as mukta, not on top of it. I saw that Rav Botner writes in his book on mukta that if it's a type of toy that is made for a child that has not yet reached the age of chinuch, so then there's no prohibition to give the toy to the child, then such a toy would be actually considered not mukta. That means that a whistle would be mukta because a whistle is used by older children. But a baby rattle is made for a baby, so then it would be as considered not as mukta because it's considered kli shemelachter leheter, even though the parents may not shake the rattle, but we don't stop the child from doing it. We don't show the child how to do it. We don't, you know, aid them in giving them the rattle. But once they're holding onto the rattle, there's absolutely no problem of them shaking it, and you don't have to stop them. You can even give them the rattle, even if, you know, the next thing they're going to do is shake it. That will be permissible on Shabbos, and therefore such a rattle would not be mukta on Shabbos. So one has to be careful then if one gives a rattle to a child that you shake it, that you do not shake it in order to attract his attention, not to get him to copy you or to do the same, because for the adults to shake the rattle would be forbidden. Sand on Shabbos is a typical case of mukta. When we refer to the most serious form of mukta, we call it eitzim ve'avonim, things that are just lying on the floor and discarded. They don't have any heter whatsoever. They don't have even a definition of a kli. So it's not a kli shemelachter isur or kli shemelachter heter. It's not even a kli. It's gufoi. is mukta, and therefore you can't move it even to a gufa makomai. So sand and bricks, stones, wood, and all the rest, those things are totally mukta. But if you have prepared them from before Shabbos, you've set them aside, you've moved them, you've piled them, you've done some sort of maisa to show that they are prepared, then they're not mukta. So you can use a rock as a doorstop if you've already brought that rock in on Erev Shabbos. When I was a kid, we had a brick that we used to keep the bathroom door closed. And that brick was wrapped in brown paper. So that was brought into the house. It was wrapped up and designated. So that brick doesn't get a din of mukta whatsoever. So too, when you have sand, you have beach sand, the type of sand that kids love to play in the sandbox. So that sand that's put into the sandbox is not mukta, because it has been put there for the children to play with, and therefore that's considered as a designation from before Shabbos, and there's no problem with the children to play with it on Shabbos. What one needs to be careful about is that the sand needs to be dry and fine, loose sand, not soddy, clumpy earth, because we don't really have problems of chayrish, we don't have problems of boine, that you clump it together, if they were to dig in it and it causes a groove, that may have a problem of chayrish. But when you're dealing with beach sand, it's considered, referred to in the poskim as afati chayach, something that doesn't really take a shape, it falls apart, you dig a hole and it falls in from the sides, so then there's no problem of A, the sand is not mukta, and B, there's no problem of playing with such a sand, because they're not going to be doing any other of the malachas that are involved in using moving earth. What one has to watch out for is not to have wet sand, not to even pour water on the sand. Because the moment you're dealing with the wet sand, it rained last night and now the sand is all wet, you can't use it. Or pouring water on the sand would also be forbidden, because that is a problem of lisha. There's a problem of kneading. When you take water and put it into a mixer and you make some sort of thick mixture, that now that's considered lisha, then you can't do it. When you got a davosh and a bar gibel, sand doesn't really knead like dough. Therefore, according to most poskim, the pouring of the water onto the sand is already the beginning and the end of the isur, and therefore you can't even pour water on it, even if you don't play with it afterwards. If you have sand that has not been prepared, for example, you're going for a walk on the beach, that you cannot let your kids sit down and play with the sand, because that sand is mukta, because it has not been prepared. Even the dry sand that's away from the water, that may not be played with on Shabbos. Another example of sand that kids love to play in, but is not prepared for kids to play with, and to remind our children not to play in it, is when they dump a big pile of sand outside a building site. Apart from the fact that it's probably a mazik and could be a shiloh gezel for children to play on it, because they spread it out in all directions and some of the sand gets lost, could be the amount of damage they would do is less than a shavet pruta, but so therefore could be perhaps, or ask a shiloh whether you have to stop them from playing on such a thing even during the week. But on Shabbos for sure it's a problem, because the whole pile of sand is mukta. This has not been prepared for children to play with, and therefore remains with the regular conditions of sand that has not been prepared, and therefore it's considered as full-fat mukta. Now, some other halachas, we have a gzera of Chazal that we don't want people to do things that are going to cause them to smoothen out the ground, or to flatten the earth, so that it is more usable for what they are doing. For example, that is playing ball, playing marbles, or something like that. Then you roll it on the floor, and if there's a bump or a groove, you're going to smooth it out. And therefore, there's a gzera not to play ball outdoors on a floor that can be smoothed out. And there's actually a machlokas whether this applies even further on a paved floor as well. And the way we paskin, we have this halacha comes up also on sweeping. Sweeping is considered asur on Shabbos, because you're going to smoothen out the floor as you sweep it, because some of the dirt will be caught in the grooves, and what sticks out gets swept away. And maybe you're smoothing out the floor. Therefore, we say that sweeping on Shabbos is asur. And it's a gzera, eina merutzif ata eina merutzif, meaning a paved floor, a floor that has stones or has paving or something like that, would be asur to sweep, because the gzera, you might come to sweep a floor that has not been paved. However, not to worry, we do sweep today, and why is that? is because we're making a difference between indoors and outdoors. Outdoors, generally speaking, areas are not paved, and therefore we make a gzera on paved areas because you might come to play on non-paved areas or sweep areas that are paved and therefore mistakenly sweep areas that are not paved. But indoors, we go with the shita that if roiv batenu merotzofim, if most of our houses are paved, then we don't have the gzera indoors. So, A, when it comes to sweeping, we're going to say that sweeping indoors is permissible today because all our homes have proper flooring. We don't have dirt floor homes. Whereas outside, it remains awesome. So the same thing applies to playing ball. So when it comes to playing a game of marbles where it has to be rolled on the floor, we're going to say that indoors, if you have a floor, which basically is the case, indoors it will be permissible and outdoors it will be forbidden. So even in your chaniya, which would be paved, nevertheless, that's outdoors, and outdoors we have a gzera of merutzofim animals. So the same thing comes with all ball games that involve the ball being on the floor. It would be soccer, football, or something like that, or any other game that's played with the ball on the floor, that would be the same halacha. However, when it comes to a game where the ball is not used on the floor, for example, table tennis, ping pong, badminton, volleyball, all these cases, the ball is kept above the ground and is not supposed to go on the ground at all, so then the condition of the ground is irrelevant to the game, then that would be permissible to play it on Shabbos on the surface that you're going to be playing, which means in the air or on the table, then it would be permissible because you don't have this zera. Once we're talking about balls, we add on balls, balloons, and all other inflatables. So there's a couple of points to mention regarding inflatables. We touched on it recently, that filling up a container, filling up a ball or a pillowcase or something like that. You have a pillow and you want to fill it up with feathers, or you have a blanket and you want to fill it up with stuffing. So we say that to do it the first time on Shabbos is considered as makir patish. You're completing your item. And the way the modern day, the contemporary post can look at blowing up balloons, balls, and those things is that you are filling it up. You're filling it up with air, and therefore to blow it up the first time would be forbidden as makir patish, if you can't blow it up for the very first time. However, if it has been previously filled up, so from this point of makir patish, it's not a problem. You can blow it up. Blow it up again. However, this is a separate issue to take into account, is that some items, after you blow them up, you close up the hole and you make a knot. I don't know today of any such toy or item, because it's very inconvenient if you want to make a knot. I mean, today children don't even wear laces in their shoes. They wear Velcro. So like, you know, terrible if they would have to make use laces. So the balls we have today also, we don't seal them anymore by tying up the top so that the air stays in. Today they all have a valve. But were you to have such an item that the way to keep the air inside would be to put a string around the top and make a knot, so then we don't allow even the blowing up because we don't want a person to come to make a knot, which is also on Shabbos. So if it's a ball that has a knot to close it, then you may not blow off the same thing as a balloon. A balloon, the way we close a balloon is we knot the top. So then blowing up a balloon, one should not do because you're going to knot the top, and therefore we should not do it. And you should treat such an item as mukta because the fact that we don't allow you to blow it up, so now that it's not blown up, so there's nothing you can do with it, so it's klisha mafadis, and it's considered mukta. But if it has a valve or it has some sort of plug that doesn't involve kshiros, and then as we said, it all depends if it's been previously blown up. If it's been previously blown up, you can blow it up again. If it hasn't been previously blown up, then again, it remains also to do. If you have a ball that fell into a tree, kids were playing ball, and out it went and into a tree. So the halacha is that you may not climb a tree on Shabbos, you may not use anything but mechubar, and therefore getting the ball down in any way is forbidden on Shabbos. Whether they want to climb the tree or whether they want to use a stick and get it off the tree, that is also considered usur, that's considered using the tree. And therefore, once the ball falls into the tree, the ball is stuck and you cannot shake the tree. None of these things are permissible on Shabbos. They have to leave. If at some point the ball comes down, whether someone did it against the halacha, or a goy did it, or the wind did it, or whatever it is, somehow the ball came down. The ball may be played with subsequently because it didn't become muktzeh by the fact that it was trapped in the tree if it fell in the tree on Shabbos. However, a ball that fell into the tree before Shabbos and a bush or whatever it is, and it's in a place that were to be Shabbos, you couldn't get it down. And now it stayed in that place over Ben Hashmashos, then the ball becomes muktzeh because the ball during Ben Hashmashos is inaccessible. It's in a place where on Shabbos you cannot get it down. And it's not going to fall by itself under normal circumstances. And therefore, the ball now becomes inaccessible over Ben Hashmashos, and we treat it as muktzeh. And if that's the case, even if somehow it would come down on Shabbos, as you said, whether someone did it against the halacha or got a goy to do it, or whatever the case may be, the ball cannot be played with. The ball remains muktzeh in such a case. Visiting a stadium on Shabbos, even if you worked out all your problems of transport of how to get there and how to get a ticket. You bought it beforehand, and the canceling of the ticket when you come in, you work out that you don't have to do any milachos or things like that, is for sure not considered a Shabbos sticker activity, and for sure that a person should avoid it at all costs. And not only is it lacking in the essence of Shabbos, in the fact this is not something that you should be doing on a Shabbos, but generally speaking, if someone, if there's a game going on Shabbos, it probably involves major Chilul Shabbos on behalf of the other people, and therefore one falls into the category of a Machzik Yidei Avera, that by coming to such a game, you're encouraging what's going on. People over there had to, other people in the stadium bought their tickets, and other people in the stadium drove there on Shabbos, and they're doing all sorts of things that are not also to do on Shabbos. Therefore, trying to find a heter this way, that way to go watch a game. I remember a friend I had in yeshiva told me as a teenager they did that once. There was a game on Yom Tov and they just didn't want to miss it. And they bought it before, and that was Yom Tov, so they could carry the tickets and they walked there. And maybe in Chutzar, it's at least you can't say it's a Machzik Yidei Avera because at least it's all going that are coming to the stadium and players are going. Here in Eretz Yisrael for sure would be 10 times worse. But nevertheless, even if you found Hitarian to get in, it is for sure not, what would we say, Ein das Chachomim Noich Mimenu, means this is not something that is considered the right thing to do. When it comes to playing with sticks, playing with the pips of fruits, what the Americans call them pits of fruits, or stones, you have Chamesh Avanim, and all those things, generally speaking, sticks, stones, fruit pips and peels and all the rest are all considered muktzeh, and the only way to use them on Shabbos would be by preparing them in advance. So when it is apricot season and the kids are collecting they have a word for it, I don't know what it is, but the kids are collecting apricot pits, that would be asur for them to collect them on Shabbos, and if they didn't set them aside on Erev Shabbos, then they would, even if they collected them before, but they haven't now put them aside to play with, whatever, there's a bunch of them that have been lying around, nevertheless we say that the children should not play with them on Shabbos because they're all considered as mukta, and if they do want to play with it, then they have to set it aside, they have to actively set it aside before Shabbos. If you're going to play game of Chamesh Avanim in the old-fashioned way where you actually have stones, then they have to go to the yard and pick up the 5 stones before Shabbos and aside, then they can play with them on Shabbos. There are certain items which, by definition, are always used, and they're not discarded. I can't think of an example, but he says if you have certain sticks or stones or pits that are used on a regular basis, and this is what they are, this is their general designation, then you don't need to designate them because they automatically are considered usable. You have, for example, that something that we as humans discard and don't eat it, but animals eat it, for example, bones of meat, or if you have peels of various vegetables that an animal will eat, we don't. So they are not considered mukta because at least they are ro'i for animals. So obviously in a place where such animals exist, if you live in a place where such animals do not exist, then they won't help because they're edible for animals. And so therefore the same thing applies when you have other items, that there, if there is a local common usage for such an item, even though generally sticks and stones are muktzah, you could find a case of something that's not muktzah. Also, if a pit was taken out of a fruit on Shabbos. So generally speaking, we say that muktzah can't be made on Shabbos. But if you discard something, it becomes muktzah. But something, when you have a whole fruit, you have a whole fruit and you have the pit inside. So the whole fruit is something which is not muktzah, because the fruit is edible, it's made for eating. Everything that comes with the fruit is tofel to the fruit. It is considered as connected to the fruit and therefore would not be muktzah. When you finish eating the fruit and now you have just the rind, the grind, the core, whatever, the pith that's left, so now when you discard it and you don't want it anymore, then it will become muktzah. But if you do want it at that point, and you do want to play with it at that point, then there would be a heter if you ate an apricot and the kid immediately took the pits from the inside to play with, then we would say that that is considered as sufficient use that would not turn into muktzah. If the actual playing of Hamesh Avanim is played on the floor, so again, the same thing as we said before, look at the balls, is that it can be played indoors but should not be played outdoors. If one of the stones got lost, it cannot go take another stone from outdoors unless he had a prepared one before. Today, most kids, I don't think, know how to play with stones. They play with bought pieces of metal that are considered Chamesh Avanim. But once upon a time, that was Chamesh Avanim. They took them from the yard and they played with them. So you cannot take a fresh one from the yard. Pictures in an album, one may put pictures into an album with a couple of conditions. First of all, you cannot sort them out. You see a picture, you can put it in, but you cannot sift them and sort them and get them into order before you put them in. You put them in as they come one by one. And also, it must be the type of album that doesn't be sticking. You slide it into a slot or something like that, it's fine. But if there's any sticking involved, then it would be problematic of the dabek, which is a holder of tofer, to use what they call in this country plastalina, that's plastic, we called it, to make shapes or anything like that which is pliable and made for shaping. Clay or wax or something like that would be also on Shabbos. You may not make shapes on Shabbos, or to pour something into a mold, like gevet is also a type of clay or plaster or something like that, to pour into a mold and make figures out of it. All that is also on Shabbos, and therefore the materials for such a game were considered as muktzah on Shabbos. To use wind-up toys, I guess most of us here are old enough to remember that today, and battery-operated. Automatically, battery-operated is out, may not be used on Shabbos, but wind-up toys, interestingly enough, a lot of possible hold that it's permissible to use wind-up toys on Shabbos, because even though when we discussed watches, we said that winding it up is much of a patish, you're putting it into action, it's a dead watch, bring it back to life. Generally speaking, we're saying that a wind-up toy has a very short life on the spring, and that's not really what makes it alive. It's a toy, and now you're adding something. You're just filling it and it empties and fills and empties. Wind-up toys would be more makel than a wind-up watch, which goes for many, many hours. And therefore, a parent perhaps should be machmir not to wind it up, but you don't have to stop a child who decides to use a wind-up toy on Shabbos. We'll let them have it. If the toy does produce sounds, obviously you hear the sound of the gears turning, that's not what we mean by sound, but make some sort of music or make some banging sound that's part of the game, part of the toy, that would be problematic on Shabbos. And if it makes or anything like sparks or something like that, that would also be awesome on Shabbos. Okay, I think I'm gonna hold it for this week. Again, okay, everybody, Chodesh Tov, and Metz Hashem.
Thank you, good Chodesh to everyone.